it's really that serious, because that's the one thing that can really wipe out a person's nest egg, is getting sick.
Becoming a millionaire isn't just about growing your money. It's also about protecting and preserving your wealth by using the right financial strategies for your situation. Welcome. This is Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi. John has his Master's of Science in Financial Services and is a certified financial planner and the president of Epiphany Capital.
Welcome into another edition of Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi and myself here to talk about long-term care, not always the most favorite subject of folks to talk about, I think, because it has that, you know, kind of mortality thing attached to it as well. But it's something we've got to do. We've got to have these conversations. So make sure you're doing so with your qualified professional. If you need some help, that's why John is here. He is a certified financial planner and the president at Epiphany Capital. You can reach out to him at johnchoi.net. That's John, C-H-O-I.net. If you've got some questions or concerns, get onto his calendar, book some time online, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, Middle Class Millionaire, on whatever podcasting platform app you like to use. My friend, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you? Just trying to get over these winter blues.
Yeah.
February.
Yeah.
So almost February in Chicago, kind of maybe the coldest month here, but so far so good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we were just talking about that before we kicked off the podcast of wanting, you know, it's as humans, right? We can't wait for something to end and something new to start. We look forward to winter when we've been burning up during the summer, and then winter shows up and about time a couple of months go by, we're ready for that to end and get back to the warm weather. It's a never-ending cycle, right?
Yeah, and as Chicago, as a lifelong Chicagoan, I got to tell you, we appreciate warm weather like nobody else. We welcome it. The Californians are like, you know, it's another day, 75 and sunny. We're like, oh, 75 and sunny sounds so good.
There you go. Well, you know, I mean, if you think about that conversation, you know, in long-term care as well, right? I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of go, yeah, I probably should look at it, or I, you know, I need to address it, or whatever the case is. And somebody might find themselves that for a retiree, they might say, hey, maybe I need to address the snowbird conversation, right? Maybe the cold is getting to me. I need to move, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe the cold is affecting, you know, what might happen for long-term care. You know, it's lots of ways you can kind of tie those, you know, two thought processes in there together. So let's spend a little time this week on the podcast, John, and talk about it. I want to start with like old policies, or I guess old types of long-term care versus new. What can you tell us there?
So even before maybe we start that conversation,
sure.
I just want to let the listeners know about what long-term care insurance really is.
Okay.
And it basically says that we will pay you to have a nurse in your home or go into an assisted living facility or the nursing homes. Before, like in my grandmother's age, it was just one choice, right? You got sick, you went to the nursing home, and it was kind of like, no, don't put grandma in a nursing home. She's gonna get abused or whatever it is. Now these facilities are remarkable. My son works in one of these things. And when I drop him off at work, I gotta tell you, it's a gorgeous, clean, well-lit, just an awesome facility for these seniors.
Yeah.
And but you know what? With that comes a price tag, right? So
right. I was going to say, there is the spectrum, right? I mean, there unfortunately are the opposite end that we all have those fears of, or those terrible movie thing type things of, and then they have this, right? So there is a wide spectrum, unfortunately.
Right. And so for long-term care, when, you know, we get older, our bodies unfortunately start breaking down, maybe physically as well as cognitively, right?
Right.
So what a long-term care policy will do is pay for the costs of those care. And the standard is that if you cannot perform two of the six activities of daily living. Now, what are those activities of daily living, or ADLs as we call them? So it's eating, dressing, bathing, transferring, toileting, and continence.
And so, transferring, is that just movement?
Transferring is getting in and out of a bed, in and out of a chair. I mean, sometimes I need a boost up when I'm in my lazy.
Sure, room, yeah. Okay. The knees start to act up when you get over 50. But
right,
yeah.
Right. And a lot of these policies also have something for cognitive impairment. So that might be Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or dementia.
Okay.
Yeah, so as long as, you know, if you get a Alzheimer's diagnosis, right, that's a trigger. You don't have to wait for two of the six ADLs to not work, right? Mm-hmm. So it's an either or type of scenario.
Gotcha.
So if you quote unquote qualify, then that's when the policy starts paying out. Now, the old policies, what they used to do is you would pay on a per month or usually an annual basis, and you would pay, I don't know, either 10 years or 20 years or for the rest of your life, depending on what kind of policy that you bought. And those have gone away in popularity because there were two reasons why people did not buy these older policies. One was that the premiums can and do go up. And the second reason is that if you could pay into these policies for 10, 20 years, 35 years, and if you died peacefully in your sleep, all that money that you paid into that policy was gone. It went to pay for someone else's policy. And that was a source of heartache for a lot of people. And again, I don't blame people for not buying those older policies because of those two reasons. Heck, I wouldn't. I sure wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. And so the newer policies are more of an asset-based care. So what that means is that instead of having these series of payments, a lot of times you will just dump in a lump sum of money. Okay. So $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, whatever it is. And that would buy you a pool of money, double or triple what you put in for the purposes of long-term care. That's how we get around the premiums can and do go up side of things. Okay.
Okay.
The premiums
gotcha.
Are set.
Right.
You know what you're going to pay. In fact, you just made a single premium payment, one-time payment, and you're done. You never have to pay into it again. Now, what happens in that policy if you were to die peacefully in your sleep? Well, a lot of these policies say that you will get all of your money back. Not you, but your beneficiary will mm-hmm. get all of that money back. It's without interest, but you get your principal back.
Right.
And so there isn't this feeling that, oh my gosh, I put all this money into a policy and now it's gone. At least it would go back to your family for the family benefit. So in that case, again, it's a tails you tie, heads you win type of scenario. Because if you do go on claim and you put in $200,000, you have, let's say, I'm just going to make them an example, $600,000 that you can pull out of this policy for the use of long-term care. So pretty neat.
Yeah, definitely pretty interesting. So yeah, so you've got this old policy versus the newer style. So with that question, I guess it probably leads me into what does the future kind of hold or look like? Because insurance products and various different financial products have changed. Really, I mean, they really have changed so much in the last 10, 15 years, let alone 30. And it's so easy for time to get away from us, right? So you think, you know, something you might have gotten in the 90s or whatever is completely possibly different today. So what's the future look like there?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. But before we go into that, let me just make one clarifying statement on my previous thing that I said.
Okay.
So there's that one way where you can just dump in that, you know, lump sum policy. There's also a way where you can, if you were going to put in $200,000, let's just say, you can spread that out over 10 years and be $20,000 a year. And it stops at 10 years and it's guaranteed to be at $20,000. So there is no
rate hikes and stuff.
There's no rate hikes. And again, you get your money back if you were to die peacefully in your sleep, never having used it.
So, yeah, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. So the future of long-term care, you know, these products are, when they first started out, they were giving away the house. It was so good.
Right.
And they would have, lifetime payouts, right? So if you were in the nursing home the average nursing home stays like 3.5 years, right? But if you were in there 6, 7, 8 years, the policy would continue to pay. And then the insurance company said, look, this is a financially unsustainable way for us to do business. And then the policies got really bad. And then now it's getting good again. So, but for the future of it, I don't know if you know this, Mark, but back in 2021, the state of Washington mandated that people get long-term care. Well, I should take it back. What they said was, we are going to impose a payroll tax for the purposes of us buying you a really crappy long-term care policy.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. Now, in order for you to get out of this payroll tax, you had to have your own long-term care policy. If you did, you were good. They would not impose that tax on you.
Okay.
All right. So that was back in October. So the deadline was Halloween, October 31st, 2021. If you had the policy, you were good. If you didn't, you were paying that payroll tax forever. Well, as long as you worked, right? Now, when one state does something, the other states go, maybe there's something to it. So guess what's coming down the pipeline? There's 17 states right now that are considering doing that model, that Washington state model, and saying, look, that's a pretty good idea. Let's shift the burden back to the citizens of our state, because most of the states are in the red right now, right?
They're
I live in Illinois, so you don't have to talk about that, right? We're in way deep debt. But what they're going to do, in my opinion, is they're going to improve upon that model and say, look, it's not just the payroll tax, because once you stop working, you don't pay payroll tax. It's going to be some sort of other tax on it. It may be an additional Medicare tax. It may be something, but they will find a way to get more money, to extract more money from their citizens to buy that. So I don't know when that's coming, but I cannot foresee no other state's doing what Washington did. It's coming down the pipeline. And that is the future of long-term care. So I think we have to get in front of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do know this, that back in 2021, when I was writing other policies like insurance policies or annuity policies, I couldn't get one insurance company to move faster than 6 weeks to get a policy issued. And it was because they were devoting all their resources into writing long-term care policies for the citizens of the state of Washington.
Wow.
Yeah. And Washington's only, 7.5-8 million people. Can you imagine if California did this? They would just, our issue times would probably go out to, 6 months to a year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so here's what happened. Because it was flooding the capacity of the insurers, some people, they applied for the policy back in, let's say, October. They were dragging their feet and they said, maybe we should do this. They couldn't get their policy issued before the deadline. And it was too bad. Sorry, you don't have a policy in place. You're getting taxed.
Wow. Yeah, so getting in front of this, I like that. That's a good statement there. That's a good way, I think, to wrap this up. So again, long-term care, some really interesting pros and cons to the old, old policy styles versus some of the new things, and then what the future looks like. Anything else that we should touch on, John, before we wrap up?
Yeah, and so I'll give you a typical scenario of what happens in my office.
Mm-hmm.
When a husband and wife come in, they're, let's say, in their 60s, late 60s or whatever, and I'll say, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, you got $1 million net worth. You got $500,000 in your house. It's all paid off. Great. That's where you're going to live. Can't really use that asset. But you got $500,000 in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, investable assets. And that's great too. But what happens if, Mr. Jones, you get sick, I don't know, a year, two, five, 10 years from now? Here's what's going to happen. So you got $500,000 and you are going to use that up in... Maybe you're going to use up $300,000-$400,000 of it because you're going to go into a long-term care facility. And you know what? You can do the math. That leaves $100,000 for your wife to live on. And so you'll look at each other one day and you'll say, look, honey, I am not going to be, unfortunately, leaving you a lot of money. I don't think I should really continue getting this. You know, she's going to look you in the eye and she says, look, 50 years ago, we made our marriage vows and we said, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. And she'll say, go ahead and stay in a long-term care facility. Eventually, you're going to pass, and there's going to be $100,000 left, which is not enough for your wife to get into a decent facility. She's going to go into one of those not-so-good facilities, right?
Yeah.
Or a state-run facility. And or the burden will fall on your children. So here's what we're going to need to do. You're going to sign one document today. And you're going to choose. You're either going to sign an application for long-term care, or you're going to sign this document that indemnifies me of anything. And you're going to say that you refuse to buy long-term care, because what's going to happen is that I've heard stories where the kids, because the burden fell on their kids, the kids went ahead and sued the advisor for not bringing up long-term care in the conversation,
right,
or the wife will. And so that's not going to happen in my practice, right? You're going to sign one of two documents. And so that really is, it's really that serious, because that's the one thing that can really wipe out a person's nest egg, is getting sick.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate to have those conversations, but they do exist, right? So, and those, unfortunately, that backlash can exist as well. So just get in front of it, have the conversations, work through it, see if you can find a solution that works for you. And if not, to John's point, then, you know, you got to kind of sign off on saying, okay, hey, look, I'm not doing it. And I guess that's a choice that you can make. But the options have certainly changed. There's a lot more available now. It's definitely expensive. We understand that. But you've got to have these chats, because we're living longer, and with longevity comes more and more issues. So reach out to John, have a conversation, johnchoy.net. Again, johnchoy.net. And don't forget to subscribe to Middle Class Millionaire to catch new podcasts as they come out, as well as check out some of the past ones. We're just getting started here, so make sure you do that. Plenty more conversations to come around the subject of retirement, pre-retirees, retirees, and just financial futures in general. So that's all part of Middle Class Millionaire. And again, you can find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, all those major platforms. John Choi is a certified financial planner and the president at Epiphany Capital. Thanks for hanging out, my friend. I look forward to talking to you next time.
All right. Until next time, Mark.
We'll see you then, right here on Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi.
Take care, folks.
Epiphany Capital is a registered investment advisor, RIA, located in the state of Illinois. Epiphany Capital provides investment advisory and related services for clients nationally. Epiphany Capital will maintain all applicable registration and licenses as required by various states in which Epiphany Capital conducts business, as applicable. Epiphany Capital renders individualized responses to persons in a particular state only after complying with all regulatory requirements or pursuant to an applicable state exemption or exclusion.